This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Let's get to our postgame show, and we'll start with some of the scoring. We'll have our play of the game in this segment. And it didn't take very long for Toronto to get on the board, did it? Just a couple of minutes in.
Yeah, and the Ducks actually had the game's first three shots on goal, but Toronto needed only one to dent the scoreboard. It came courtesy of Alex Kerfoot at the 158 mark, capping off a nice Leafs rush into the Anaheim zone with a one-timer from the inner edge of the right-wing faceoff circle. Kerfoot with his third goal of the season. Pierre Engvall and Connor Timmins with the assist. Leafs with the early lead.
John Tavares, the captain, added to it near the halfway point.
Yeah, and John Tavares got inside position on Ducks defenseman Dmitry Kulikov. I believe at the time I misidentified Kulikov as being Nathan Beaulieu, but it was actually Kulikov defending against Tavares, and the veteran Leafs center with inside position able to just tap in a very creative backhand pass from Mitch Marner. Tavares gets his 14th goal of the season. Marner and Timmins the assist, so that made it 2-0 Leafs, and that is the way the first period ended.
So the Ducks still in it, and wouldn't be for long, though. But third goal is a big one for Toronto. It's our play of the game brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. Here's the goal by Brody that made it 3-0. McTavish steals an attempted pass there by the Leafs from the corner to in front of the net. And now it's Brody ahead to Timmins, and streaking in towards a Dostal is Matthews. Gets it back, Timmins for Brody, and shoots, scores! Brody let the shot go. It looked like it might have been deflected in front, and the referee made some kind of sign. I think the goal's going to count, but the two referees will talk about it. And again, it's either Brody or the guy in front that might have tipped it in. We'll wait and see.
Well, it was Brody who gets credit for the goal. A tough assignment here for Ducks rookie goaltender Lukasz Dostal, who had come on in relief for an injured John Gibson less than a minute and a half earlier. And one thing Gibson and Dostal had in common tonight is each surrendered a goal on the first shot he faced. Brody here with a snapshot from the left wing faceoff dot, his first goal of the season. Connor Timmins with his third assist on as many Leafs goals, and Austin Matthews with the other helper. That goal at 12:16 of the second period made it 3-0 Leafs and pretty much sealed the verdict, although there was more offense to come.
Yeah, the Michael Bunning goal made it 4-0, Dan, and it's tough to come from behind in the NHL when you're down by that many.
And no doubt, Steve. And Michael Bunning, one of the less heralded members of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but has certainly been contributing offensively. He stretched his career-high point streak to 9 consecutive games with his 6th goal of the season here on his backhand, being able to get away from Ducks defenseman Simon Benoit's check attempt. And Bunting beat Dostal with assists to Mitch Marner and Justin Hall. That goal is 16:33. Marner, by the way, earlier in the game with his first assist, had stretched his scoring streak to 23 consecutive games. He has 11 goals, 21 points during that run. And, boy, who's going to stop Mitch Marner?
Pretty impressive season so far for Marner. And then, meanwhile, Leafs continue to break things open with some goals in that third period.
Yeah, 3 to be exact. Kerfoot got his second of the game, 4th of the season from Mark Giordano and Pontus Holmberg at 3:37, bearing a shot from the slot off a nice rush. And then just 2:05 later, Pierre Engvall wide open beats Lukasz Dostal from low in the right wing circle. Rasmus Sandin and Holmberg again with the assist for Holmberg. 2 assists in a span of 2:05. And then the offensive festivities for the Leafs capped at the 18:20 mark. Joey Anderson with his first goal of the season. He converted a rebound from the inner portion of the left wing circle. Sandin with his second assist of the period, and the other assist to former Duck Zach Aston Reese. So the Toronto Maple Leafs, 14 of their 18 skaters tonight get on the score sheet, and a resounding 7-0 victory for the Leafs.
All right, final segment. We'll bring in Josh Brewster to get his take on the Toronto 7-0 win over Anaheim right after this timeout on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Wendy getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be providing her groceries during the holidays. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And during Happy Honda Days, we can help you too with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot or Ridgeline. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services. Length of contract limited. Expires 1/3/23.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bbbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested, all for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us, all of us. Visit hegetsus.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. Come to score big. Official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks.
All right. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood. We're going to bring in Josh Brewster. Josh, this was a long night of hockey, and unfortunately, not the way the Ducks wanted to end this one.
No, not at all. And, you know, it's unfortunate. The last chapter of the first period, I mean, Toronto came out strong very early. The last chapter of the first period, the Ducks could just not bottle that. In the second period, all that power play time for the Toronto Maple Leafs, they really got their skates under them and really carried the momentum. The Ducks could not sustain what they had started to cook up late in the first period. Even though they were down 2-0, you had a sense that they were in this thing. I'll give you a statistic that I do not like. The Toronto Maple Leafs only had to block two shots tonight. Two. And that was pretty indicative. I mentioned early in the game that the passing game is not something in hockey. It's too fast a game that you're going to get statistics on it. But when you see the Leafs dominate the passing game the way that they did, boy, the puck possession game obviously just flows from that. And for most of the night, 90% of the night, the Leafs, they owned the puck.
Yeah, Josh, I will provide a statistic that none of us are going to like either. 150 minutes and 23 seconds. That's how long the Anaheim Ducks have gone without scoring a goal. Trevor Zegras had scored 9 minutes 37 seconds into the second period of that 6-1 loss to San Jose at Honda Center on Friday. And since then, the Ducks have not managed to put a puck past an opposing goaltender. So that is the baggage they are going to carry into their matchup with the Montreal Canadiens on Thursday night in Montreal. The Ducks tonight did some good things. If you want to look for bright spots, they were 3-for-3 on the penalty kill, thanks in large part to the goaltending. Toronto had 10 shots on goal on those three power plays. Ducks managed to survive all of them and remain in the game at 2-0. But as you pointed out, Josh, that certainly tilted the ice entirely in Toronto's favor after the Ducks had played well in the first period. So it is back to the drawing board for the Ducks. Now we will have to wait also to see about the status of goaltender John Gibson, who left midway through the second period with an injury. We have no specifics on the injury or the severity thereof, but with Anthony Stolarz out and not on the road trip, who knows? We could see Ole Eriksson Ek coming up from San Diego to join Lukáš Dostal. And a word about Dostal. His statistics are going to take a beating tonight. He gave up 5 goals in basically half a game, but really not a fair test for Dostal the way this game got away from the Ducks. It would have been a difficult assignment for even the most veteran of goaltenders. So let's throw this one out for Lukáš.
Yeah, let's do that. Josh, what do you have coming up on Duck Calls tonight?
Well, looking forward to your calls at 714-940-2888. The good, the bad, the ugly, we can talk about it all. And a very special guest, Scott Laughlin, a great, great hockey guy, does 3 hours every morning on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Give us a call.
All right, Josh, and we will talk to you when we land in Montreal and do the broadcast here in a couple of nights. Good job.
Sounds good, guys. Have a safe trip.
All righty. Next up, Bell Center, Montreal. The Canadiens will host the Anaheim Ducks Thursday night. Again, our pregame coverage back in SoCal gets underway at 3:30. The play-by-play at 4 o'clock. I want to thank Paul Gatter, on-site engineer, and all the folks at Skyview in the state of Arizona. Terrific job, guys. You're the best. And for Josh and for Dan Wood, I'm Steve Carroll. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Wasn't as we had planned, hoping for a Ducks win, but you learn some things maybe from a game like this. 7-0, the final. Ducks hockey on the Ducks Radio Network, been brought to you by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. We'll talk to you Thursday night from Montreal, Quebec. For everyone here, good night. Again, the final, 7-0 Toronto over Anaheim. Stay tuned for Duck Calls. It's next on DuckStream, and it's powered by TuneIn.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
When that goal siren goes off, it just hits right. And now you can hear a different kind of buzzer, thanks to TuneIn's exclusive Jeopardy stations. Stream iconic moments from past episodes on Jeopardy Classic Station.
What is the organ?
Or stream full episodes with modern champions on the flagship Jeopardy station.
Gotcha.
What is it, parrot?
All right on the same device when you're listening to DuckStream. Ready to test your knowledge? Buzz in right here on TuneIn.
Shoot, score!
Hockey is intense. Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their Zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more, so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next Duck Stream game. Hear it here on TuneIn.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. Give me a call tonight. Leaf 7, Ducks nothing. Well, I'll tell you what, this is a crushing blow. In the last three games, Ducks have lost three straight. We've been shut out two straight nights. We've surrendered 16 goals in the last three games and scored only one. So we're up against it, and there's no one on the roster who isn't up against it. I'm going to get to my thoughts in just a minute here, but why don't I go right to you, 714-940-2888. We have a caller. Caller, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello
am
there.
I the caller?
Well, you are the caller. Welcome to Duck Calls.
Awesome. My name's Lori. How are you today?
Hi, Lori. I'm okay. Well, Lori, I've been better. You know, they hung a touchdown hung a touchdown on us tonight, Lori.
Okay, so this is what I want to ask. Obviously, you see what we see. We're longtime season ticket holders, and I'm a teacher. So I have high expectations for my students, both academically and educationally and behaviorally. And if my kids, my students are not lining up with either or, I regroup them and I reset my standards real fast and things change. You know, at what point is what's going on the players, you know, not being held accountable, or is it the coaching staff that's not holding them accountable at all, in your opinion?
Well, it's an interesting question about accountability. I'm not so sure the coaches here are not holding players accountable. I think there are, quite honestly, Lori, I don't remember a Ducks team with this many issues to overcome. You know, you're talking about everybody south of Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry not scoring, okay? And even Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry have not been spectacular lately. You're talking about a team tonight, the penalty kill was good. It has not been good. The power play has not been good. The shots against have not been good. I could go down the line. So as far as accountability goes, you know, I don't think that let me put it to you this way, Lori. I guess it's an interesting question because I'm not so sure that people are shirking their responsibility. I don't perceive that at all. But I will say this, Lori. You know, maybe a couple of healthy scratches. You know, maybe there's a few guys who need to be healthy scratches, and maybe guys who make a good amount of money need to be healthy scratches. Here's the thing. I do see a good compete level in the Ducks. But I would, you know, to your point, I guess I would say at this point there might be some guys who need to be healthy scratches. What do you think about that?
That's what we were saying. My husband and I were saying, put the whole team down, not, you know, to the AHL. We know that can't happen, but just something to wake them up, because ultimately everyone's replaceable, and we've got the talent. We have the talent. They're just not playing.
Go ahead, Lori. Yeah,
we are there diehard every game, regardless. Yeah. You know, we're true blue fans. And what I noticed is, like, and I don't know if it makes a difference, when they come out on the ice for warm-ups, they come out without their helmets on. The Rangers come out, they all have their helmets on. You know, so I don't know, like, it's just, they come out serious, ready to play. So, you know, it's just what I see. You know, I don't know, but you know, we want them to just be good Ducks and score and I don't know.
Okay, well, let me be perfectly frank. We see players struggling. I will say this: if the Ducks cannot figure out what the level of sacrifice is in order to score goals in this league. Now, this is a youngish team, but there are some veterans who are struggling as well. If they don't get the level of sacrifice, I would have to say that does fall on the group of coaches, because you're 30 games in, and when you're having so much trouble generating opportunities in the offensive zone, you know, you ask about the players and you ask about what the coaches are accountable for. I'm going to be brutally frank. If I'm on the coaching staff, I'm going to have to try to really impress about what it takes to back check. If you watch the Leafs, they have all these stars, but boy, when they don't have the puck, they are really hustling to come back and catch us. Even guys like Marner, guys like Matthews, and these are very, very talented players who have done a lot in this league. But there's throughout their lineup, there's a greater sense of hustle on the back check. So speaking to those things, I would say, look, with regard to the players, they're going to have to understand the level of sacrifice that it takes to score goals in this league and to really create havoc in the offensive zone. And unfortunately, Lori, there's a whole bunch of players. I'll say this frankly, the coaches and the players together, when you've now lost 20 games out of your first 30, you know, you say that the Ducks have talent. They do. I don't know if they have talent to be a playoff club. But I would have to say, Laurie, I agree with you because I think they are should be a far more competitive club than what they've shown.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So, listen,
I thank you for your response. Sometimes my husband and I, we think, like, are we the only ones watching this out here? And I had to call in and I had to say something tonight.
No.
So,
no, this is your show. Yeah. I want you to call this show anytime. And look, I wouldn't blame any Ducks fan for being frustrated. Not at all, Lori. I mean, look, your support for the club is appreciated. I will tell you, I think that there's going to be some things turn around. I think you mentioned the San Diego Gulls. I've mentioned the San Diego Gulls. I wouldn't be surprised if through the holiday season we get into this homestand. And, you know, San Diego's only 1 hour away, depending on traffic, goodness knows. I could see where the Ducks will take some pieces from San Diego, and because something's got to give. You can't be somewhere in the neighborhood of 65% on the penalty kill and struggling so mightily on the power play. All right, let me move on to some of my thoughts. Lori, thank you for calling the show. Let me move on to some of my thoughts here. There was a chapter. I was just discussing this with Dan and Steven. You give me a call, 714-940-2888. Frustrated, angry, whatever, good, the bad, and the ugly. Bring it on here on Duck Calls. It's your show. I encourage you to pick up that phone. We will have to wait to see what happens with John Gibson. Hopefully he's not too dinged up. This would not be good. We don't have Anthony Stolarz on the trip at this point. I'll give you some numbers. I mentioned this to the guys, and this is not good. The Maple Leafs only had to block two shots tonight. So you're talking about a Leafs team that had their passing game was so much better than ours that as competitive as we were, they owned the puck for much of the night. And we did not force the issue enough in the offensive zone, spend enough time in the offensive zone, except for that chapter in the second half of the first period. That was not good. We have outshot only five of our first 30 opponents. Tonight, the shots in the aggregate were 71-42 in favor of Toronto, 41-29 in terms of total shots. So these are not good signs. Lucas Dostal came on, and as Dan was mentioning, I agree 100%. Throw the numbers out on Dostal tonight. He comes in a rough situation. It's 2-0 when he comes in. And, boy, it really is true. The power plays that we had, the penalties that we had to kill in the second period really helped the Leafs establish a territorial advantage because the Ducks were definitely beginning to keep pace. It was 2-0 Toronto, but you really didn't feel like the Ducks were out of it because, you know, we'd kind of seen this picture before, but the way they started to play before all those penalties started to pile up, I was actually encouraged. Give Ilya Samsonov some credit tonight for sure. He stopped in the first period. He stopped Mason McTavish at the crease. And then in the second period, he stopped him again at the crease. Mason McTavish has been probably the best Ducks forward of late, if you can say that about a club that's been outscored 16-1 in the last three games. But McTavish had four shots on net tonight. He's putting it out there, starting to grow into his role. And what did he have? 15, almost 16 minutes of ice time tonight. Not much went right for the Ducks tonight. Maxime Comtois was stopped on a breakaway by Samsonov. And it was at the midpoint of the game when Lukáš Dostál came in. If you notice tonight, Jason Megna joined the penalty kill. Hey, I'd been calling for a little shakeup on the penalty kill. It sounds good. Jason Megna, he did a good job on the penalty kill. The penalty kill tonight was successful. You know, it was all even strength goals for Toronto. They were 0 for 3 on the power play, so our penalty kill did get things going. One little point of specifics here. The defensive clears going up the wall were not working tonight. There were a number of times where we were trying to clear it up the wall, and all we did was give it back to them, and then they scored. For case in point, the John Tavares goal. It was frustrating to watch the Ducks go up the wall with the puck. And this is also, again, this is part of the puck handling. You kind of know you're outclassed when a club passes as well as Toronto does, and you don't have stretches of time in this game where you see, when you can look and say, hey, look at our tape-to-tape passing. Look at everything we were doing. So that was not happening. All right, we have another caller. We have another caller, so let's go to the caller. Hello, caller. You're on Duck Calls. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Who am I speaking, I'm sorry, one more time?
Yeah, this is Jared. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
All right, Jared from Pennsylvania. How you doing? Thanks for listening.
Good, thanks. Yeah, I've been a longtime fan. I really appreciated that last caller's frustration because, I mean, truthfully, I think a lot of us have had that.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I get it, and I'm not here to throw sugar on it. What have you got for me tonight on Duck Calls?
Yeah, I mean, going to accountability, I think, you know, I'm so used to seeing tough Ducks teams that hold other teams accountable. If they mess with us, we're right in their face to, you know, hold them accountable. I think, you know, I like seeing the team effort, Shattenkirk jumping in, Zeger standing up for himself, but, man, it'd be really nice to have someone tough to keep our guys safe each night and have a little more space out there.
To that point, I will tell you, I agree with you 100%. I'm hoping that over the course of time, some guys will emerge, I guess I'll say throughout this season, and I guess I'll say into next season, hopefully this season. But I would definitely agree with you that from our cupboard or from wherever we can get them, I would have to say that some guys who can provide a little more pushback physically would be welcome. It is it's a little frustrating to watch the Ducks get pushed around a bit. I agree with you.
And ultimately, you know, we just want to see our young guys thrive. I think Zegras, he's an absolute star. It's a treat we have him. It's a treat we have Terry McTavish coming up. But their confidence is, you know, a big concern of ours as fans. And I think, yeah, just letting them have a more space out there would be helpful. Someone tough, just letting them do their job and score rather than, you know, have to fight those dumb little battles around the net.
Well, I think you have a good point. And I'll also just add to that, I had mentioned this a little earlier, and I've mentioned it this season. Even with a club that really isn't ready to climb the ladder in the Western Conference, okay, even with that in mind, I'm a big believer that the level of sacrifice, I'm going to use that term again, the level of sacrifice in the offensive zone and what it takes to actually score goals has got to come to the fore. And I don't care if it's the same exact lineup we put out there tonight, the way you play, and this was in, look, we had this down, unfortunately, just for a little sliver of time late in the first period. I don't know if you'd agree with me, but I think that in terms of creating chaos in the offensive zone, in the low slot, you have absolutely got to sacrifice. And in people also point to our defensive zone coverage. I like to call the space in front of my net and the space in front of your net the line of scrimmage, to coin a football phrase. If I control the space in front of Lukáš Dostál and I control the space in front of Ilya Samsonov, I have a very good chance of winning. But that requires a level of sacrifice. And I'll be brutally blunt here. The Ducks have not shown it often enough or consistently enough. All right. We got another caller. Oh, it's Ned, the guy who paints his head. Ned, hopefully some of that paint has seeped in, and you've got some. You've got something here for me on Duck Calls. What have you got, Ned?
Hey, Josh, that was it's been a tough row to hoe, you know, but I think what the Ducks need, they got to bear down and just work hard, get up every day early, you know, get to the rink early, and then get in, you know, training and just get mentally, you know, focused. And it's, you know, it's sad to see them losing the hustle and the mental aspect of the game you got to have. And just try to work on all the little things. It was good to see that penalty kill. You know, they change it up. And I think just, hey, and it's we had a tough schedule this year. You know, a lot of it on the road, new team, young team. And but getting back to the basics, finishing checks, hustle. And hold them up in the neutral zone. I mean, and don't let so much, don't give them so much time and space. Just be really aggressive going out there to meet and challenge them.
Ned, I think you make good points all over the road there. And, you know, it's the solution's going to have to come from within. But I think you make some very good points there, Ned. So what can I say? I was impressed. I said this earlier. I was impressed with this high-skilled, not wanting to hit anybody Toronto club that is so good on the back check. They've got a lot of wheels, and they use it, man. They chase you down. So that's kind of what I talk about when I talk about the level of sacrifice. And the Ducks need to find you lost 20.
They've gotten better over the last few years. They've just been climbing. And, Toronto's one of those teams. They're going to be there come playoff time. And, you know, I think their snake bit as far as going all the way, you know, for a while. But they're a good bunch, and I think they're, you know, I mean, you got to maybe lose a couple of times, you know, before you go.
That's the point. Yeah. No, Ned, I agree with you there. I mean, I would agree with you. And by the way, Ned, thanks for calling the show as always. You know, sometimes you got to lose your way. You got to kind of lose your way to the top. You got to take some lumps. You got to lose some playoff series. Everybody can laugh at you because you haven't won in the first round. But you know, what I see Toronto doing right now, it's pretty substantial. All you callers, you just called just now, Lori, and then the guy from Pennsylvania. Look, I feel your pain, and Lori, with regard to your point about accountability. Listen, I agree. I'm not so sure that they don't know who's responsible for what. I think that they do, but this has got to change. The only way it's going to change is the guys in the locker room, and I certainly understand the frustration of the fans, and your support for the club is appreciated. Hopefully, we can turn this around and be a more entertaining team as we continue on this road trip and then come back to the friendly confines of Honda Center. All right, let's take a break here on Duck Calls, and I'll be right back with Mr. Scott Laughlin from Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Good calls tonight.
Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Wendy getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be providing her groceries during the holidays. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And during Happy Honda Days, we can help you too with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot or Ridgeline. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, length of contract limited. Expires 1/3/23.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
When the Ducks want fresh, healthy food fast, they go to Fresh and Lean. Fresh and Lean makes organically sourced meals prepped by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. Plus, you don't have to shop, chop, or cook anything. Their meals are delivered fresh, never frozen, so all you have to do is heat and eat. Fresh and Lean has delivered over 25 million meals nationwide, but they're locally based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order and free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. The ultimate gift for the holiday season has to be all of Honda Center. Learn how you can attend every Ducks game, family show, fight night, comedy set, rodeo, and concert in 2023 with a premium seating membership. The best seats in the house also come with a long list of additional perks. Learn more at HondaCenter.com/luxury. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Every morning from 5 a.m. Pacific until 8 a.m. Pacific, the great Scott Laughlin is doing his show on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. If you don't have it, go get it. He does a tremendous job, and here he is now. Scott, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing well, Josh. I wish we were speaking under more positive circumstances for Ducks fans, but hey, these things happen, especially when you come east these days and you take on teams like the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll tell you right off the bat, Scott. We'll look at this. I'll just tell you right off the bat. I was impressed with the Maple Leafs back-checking. You know, they've got all these big names, but everybody's doing their – everybody's there. It's a lunch bucket crew when it comes to chasing down the opposition, and I have to give them credit for that, for all their, you know, their star names, and everybody on the lineup is doing it. They've got a bunch of their top defensemen are out, and somehow – they've been very, very strong this year, Scott.
Well, that's the whole thing, Josh. You hit the nail on the head. And the big question around here has been, well, can the Leafs keep this up when they do get all hands back on deck? Because you play a certain way, because you have to when you're missing your top three defensemen. You can throw Jordy Benn in there as well. So four defensemen that they were missing. Brody got back a couple of games ago, and he made an instant impact when he returned to the lineup and has picked up points here now in a couple of consecutive games since returning from injury. But that's the whole thing. I mean, are you going to continue to play this way, paying attention to defensive detail, because that's what has served Toronto so well during the course of this incredible 12-0-3 run, which is now second best in the 105-year history of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that's saying something. You're right. They've been making their hay in the defensive end of the rink, and they've still managed to adhere to those defensive details. And if they do that, especially come playoff time, which is still a long ways away, Josh, as we all know, but come 83 onwards, I think that this team will be judged by this type of a game. And can they play this airtight defense? Can they get the goaltending that they got tonight from Samsonov? Can they get it from Matt Murray? Are these guys going to remain healthy? If all those answers come back, positively speaking, well, then we might be talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs going somewhere they haven't been, well, 18, 19 years later into the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, you know, everybody, well, listen, that's, everybody goes there with the Leafs, and that's fair. You know, I get it. But at some point, I think the dam will break. You have to kind of take some lumps on your way up to playoff success. All right, let's talk about the Ducks. Scott, everybody's heard what I have to say over and over. So let me just start with you tonight. What are you seeing? Let's take an overview, and then we'll break it down a little bit.
Well, look, I see a team right now, Josh, that's a team that clearly is struggling with confidence. That's been the case pretty much in the entirety of the season so far, as Ducks fans know all too well. It's a team that just can't win on the road right now. They've only got two road victories. You get behind early against a good Toronto Maple Leafs team, and it's pretty much done. So it's a team right now clearly struggling with confidence, especially when they get away from the Honda Center. It's clearly, based upon the last two nights, a team that's having a hard time generating offense in terms of putting the puck in the net, and the numbers will speak for themselves. It's just a real tough season for the team to go through, I think, and I don't want to say that it's not unexpected. I mean, you kind of felt like the Ducks, although they should be much better off than they are. Let's face it, we're not going to be a playoff team, but this was going to be a progression. This was going to be another building season, and it was up to Dallas Aikens to teach these young kids, to progress these young kids, like Adani Granato did last season in Buffalo. And now we're starting to see some of the fruits of those growing pains in Buffalo, of course, take off with the Sabres and a young, exciting team that they've got. So this, unfortunately, is part of the process. I know fans don't want to hear about a 3- or 4-year plan. They want it to be a 1-year plan. But in this day and age, although you can expedite a rebuild, I think a little bit quicker than you could back in the day, I still think this is part of the entire process. And it's real, real painful. If you're a Ducks fan, no doubt, to see the team struggling like this, you just need to get some confidence going in the right direction. I know they've got a couple more games here in Canada before returning back to the West and getting a few more games in there on the road and then having a whole, you know, bucket full of home games to look forward to in the new year. And maybe that'll be the tonic and the cure for their ills. But right now, you just need something. You need some sort of confidence booster, whether that's a big game from Mason McTavish or Trevor Zegras or somebody like that, or a goaltending performance where somebody goes out and steals something. Now, that might become a little bit more difficult, obviously, with the injury to John Gibson tonight. We'll have to find out what the severity of this injury is to number 36. But you just need something to kind of stop the bleeding right now, because right now they're bleeding profusely.
Yeah, indeed. You know, it's a tough situation. You know, sometimes here's what happens, I think, with the Ducks. There's times you look at Troy Terry and he's looking like he's a little bit alone out there, like there's nobody there to finish what he starts. I look at Cam Fowler. Sometimes he's looking a little bit alone out there because he's still able to move the puck very well and still able to work very well in the defensive zone. And he's still, as far as I'm concerned, very much a top-notch defenseman. But then, it's painful to see when you can't get the support from other guys in the lineup to finish what guys like Terry and what Fowler start. It becomes very, very frustrating.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the supporting cast is going to have to grow here in the next couple of seasons. And, you know, you look at the supporting cast for the players that you mentioned too, Josh, and, you know, they're either guys that are, you know, veteran guys that are probably, realistically speaking, not going to finish the season with the team, or they're young guys. And with young players, as you know, Josh, I mean, it takes a while. It doesn't necessarily happen right away. I mean, not everybody's going to step into the NHL and produce points and be a great all-around 200-foot type player, defensively responsible, playing well in the neutral zone and picking up your check and those sorts of things. Those details come along with growing and maturing as a National Hockey League player. So I think you're right. They've got some good players, but the secondary complementary pieces are not quite there just yet. It takes time to grow these guys into those sorts of roles. And as I say, realistically, when you look at this Ducks roster, there are going to be a few guys here that we're talking about, you know, that come March 3rd, March 4th, are not going to be around any longer.
Yeah, no, I would tend to agree with you. Are you surprised that John Klingberg has had such a difficult adjustment here? I'm kind of surprised by this, quite honestly.
Yeah, he was a -4 tonight, Josh, and just another tough night for him. Look, I've never looked at John Klingberg, and you probably haven't either, Josh, as being a great defensive defenseman, right? He kind of is what he is. He's going to quarterback a power play. He's got a real sharp offensive acumen from the blue line. He's the type of guy that will be coveted. You know, Mike Johnson, for what it's worth, of course, who co-hosts with me in the final hour pretty much each and every day on the NHL Morning Skate, Mike mentioned that, you know, And maybe Ducks fans don't want to hear this, but, you know, the thought was that Klingberg gets a 1-year deal, prove it to me with Anaheim. And he was proving not only to the Ducks, but to the rest of the National Hockey League and potential suitors out there, you know, that the Ducks could get something back in return for him, like a first-round draft choice. The way he struggled so far this season, MJ kind of has suggested that maybe that's not going to be the case any longer. So we'll see what they can get done. Look, I think he signed a 1-year contract there for a reason, to kind of prove himself, and it hasn't happened so far. So the better he plays here in the next couple of months, the better the return the Ducks are going to get, I think, when John Klingberg eventually gets moved out. But, again, I've always looked at him as more of a risk-reward type defenseman. I don't think he's a defensively strong defenseman by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think he's ever going to have a great plus-minus, regardless of where he plays. But he's just such a good offensive defenseman. He can help you in certain areas when the team's going well.
Yeah, and you know, look, as far as defense goes, folks, Pat Verbeek selected 3 defenseman in the first two rounds this year. And, you know, later in the season, and it may not be that much later in the season, we're also going to want to see guys, defensemen like Drew Helison, who we got in the Josh Manson mm-hmm. deal, that was, and then the Axel Anderson, who we got in the Andre Kasha deal when we also picked up David Backes. So I have a feeling you'll be seeing some San Diego Gulls up here before long. Scott, let's traverse over to some NHL topics here for a few minutes. The Board of Governors meeting is in full swing. That's always, you know, a big point in the season right before Christmas. It's big ticket issues are getting worked on. The first one I actually want to start with you is that they're talking about, and I really, really want to see another World Cup of Hockey. You know, the Olympics have been very rough through the pandemic, and it's been a rough time. I like the World Cup of Hockey a lot. I also like that it happens early in the fall before the season starts. And so they are talking about keeping an eye on 2025. Of course, mm-hmm. this whole thing with Russia's invasion of Ukraine
yeah.
is throwing everybody up, because you don't necessarily want to keep the Russians out. But well, what do you think about the World Cup of Hockey? The 2024 games are, the Olympic games are in Paris, but I love the World Cup of Hockey. I think it should happen every 4 years.
Yeah, so do I, Josh. Look, I'm a guy who grew up on the Canada Cup, okay? So I was a seven-year-old kid when the first Canada Cup was played in 1976 and Bobby Orr dominated the tournament in what was essentially Bobby's last hurrah as a National Hockey League player. He went, you know, to Chicago at the end of it all, but he was a shadow of his former self. He just had that gas in the tank that allowed him to do what he did in the 76 Canada Cup. I watched every Canada Cup from that point forward. We remember 1996 and how big that was for USA Hockey to beat Team Canada in a couple of games to win that World Cup in 96. We broadcasted live from Scotiabank Arena back in 2016 when it was held in Toronto. I hope, by the way, Josh, they never go back ever again to Team Europe or Team North America. I don't want to see the Young Guns or Team Europe. Just give me the top eight countries in the world and let them get at it. That's the way I look at it. I want to see Draisaitl and Mo Sider play for Team Germany. That's what I want to see. But, you know, to answer your question, you're right. 2024 was the initial game plan with which to get this going. And we should point out again, Josh, this is going to be a little bit different because they have designs on actually playing that tournament in February. They want to take a bit of a break in the NHL schedule. I'm like you. I mean, I grew up and the Canada Cup was played in September, and it was a great sort of launch pad into an NHL season. They're talking about moving it to February, and now they're talking February 2025. I hope it does come to fruition. You're absolutely right. I mean, the hang-up right now is obviously Russia with what's going on with the invasion of Ukraine, and there's no getting around that for sure. We're actually going to be watching the World Junior Hockey Championship coming up on the 26th, of course, starting in the Maritimes. And, you know, Team USA and Team Canada are co-gold medal favorites, as far as I can tell, in that tournament once again. And it's still different. I mean, Russia's not a part of it. They're not invited to the party, I don't think, nor should they be invited to the party for obvious reasons. So I think what this has done by pushing it down the road a little bit to 2025 is to give them a little bit more of an opportunity where hopefully cooler heads will prevail, saner heads will prevail, the world situation will settle itself down, to say the least, and then we can get back to talking about things that we love in terms of sports and having, you know, teams like Russia and countries like Russia competing in these events. Because you're right, they're lights out good. When it comes to international hockey, I've always said, and this is a Canadian talking here, Josh, there is nothing that unites the country of Canada more than a great international hockey tournament. Again, the World Juniors coming up, and we're hoping for the World Cup in 2025.
Yeah, and thank goodness for NHL Network, because we really never got to see the World Juniors until about the last 10 years or so in the United mm-hmm. States. And it makes it difficult on draft day because, you know, it's not like college football where you can know who these guys are. And, you know, it's a big help, and it's a great tournament. Now, I want to touch on the salary cap very briefly because I barely understand escrow. But I do want to get your comments. I really don't. I remember when we came back from that lockout, I think the salary cap was somewhere in the $30 million range. And I remember the Ducks had like 35% of their salary cap wrapped up in Chris Pronger, Scott Niedermeyer, and J.S. Jaguar. And, of course, you know what happened then. We won the Stanley Cup. Well, we're now up to a little over $82 million, and Gary Bettman came out and mentioned it would probably go up about $1 million. He thought earlier in the fall it might go up as much as $4 million. But, you know, it all goes to show you, even through this pandemic and all the things that the loss of revenue and the players have to make up all this escrow, et cetera. But the NHL's in awfully good shape. If you're talking about an NHL with a salary cap of $82 million, probably going to go up to $83
million. Yeah, I think so. It's interesting you brought that up with the Ducks defensemen, the big three that they had going back to when they had their success and, of course, winning the Stanley Cup eventually in 2007. Because I was talking to Ken Warren on our show this morning, and he works for Post Media. He's covered the Senators forever. And we were recapping last night with Wade Redden being the first Senators player inducted to the Ring of Honor there. He won't be the last. Alfredson, Phillips, players like that no doubt will follow suit. But we were talking about it because, you know, back then, as you remember, Josh, for a lot of people it came down to, hey, are you going to keep Wade Redden? Are you going to commit to him? Or are you going to commit to Zdeno Chara? We know what the answer was. They committed to Wade Redden. They gave him a big contract. Chara ended up being a free agent signing with the Boston Bruins and basically was a gift-wrapped present for new general manager Peter Chiarelli when he left the Senators to join the Bees. So, again, they had a very, very small salary cap. The Senators back then were spending right to the top of it as much as they could. But as you say, I mean, the cap was $30-plus million, $39 million was the ceiling, basically. So the Senators had that issue, and the Ducks had that issue for a little bit, and wouldn't you know that they met in the Stanley Cup Final in 2007
yes.
in a series the Ducks won in five games. But, you know, getting back to what has happened the last couple of days, they've talked about the revenues being grown back, and you're right. I think the NHL, all in all, when you look at the big picture and you take a deep breath, you say, you know what, they fared as well as you could have expected coming out of the pandemic and playing games in a bubble and having no fans and that sort of thing. I think they've done as well as could be expected. I was disappointed to hear that the cap was only going up by $1 million. I'm sure if I was disappointed, teams like the Ducks were disappointed too. You want to have access to more money to spend if you want to be that way. So I was disappointed that the cap wasn't going up by as much as you said the commissioner had initially indicated. The hope is, though, of course, once we get to 24 and 25 and 26, that things really start to take off. And look, we've had all these different things that have been taking place. We've had the mobile board rink advertisements this season that have been different, you know, changing on the fly and things like that. We've got advertising on sweaters now, of course, with all these teams. So they're doing their best to grow the revenues back, and I think they've done a great job given the circumstances last couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Scott, we talked a lot. Certainly we had Mitch Marner tonight. He extends his points streak. It's another player who extended his point streak tonight by the name of Steven Stamkos, and he scored a goal in the third period tonight as the Lightning beat the Kraken 6-2. I just want to get your thoughts on Stammer. I think this is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is now only 3 goals from 500, and what a tremendous career he's having.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. And as we talk, Josh, I've got the Capitals-Hawks game on right now. And, of course, Ovi has scored 2 more tonight. So he's got 799 in his career. Wouldn't it be something if he completes a hat trick in the Windy City tonight and gets that done? And then, of course, Detroit's on the horizon a couple of days down the road. Wouldn't it be something if he ties or passes Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, early next week when Detroit and Washington tangle? But getting back to Stamkos, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think the thing, Josh, that's impressed me the most about Stamkos the last couple of years is that, you know, you get to, you know, 32 years of age, in and around that neighborhood, and I could say the same thing for a guy like Jamie Benn. I could say the same thing for a guy like Erik Karlsson. I think they're all one and the same, very proud athletes. I think when we look at Karlsson and we look at Stamkos, we're probably talking about Hall of Famers. I know for sure Stamkos is one. Karlsson will be in the conversation at the very least. And Jamie Benn, of course, while not going to the Hall of Fame, has had one heck of a career. These guys have proven that they've got a lot left to give. And I think it's most impressive, too, Josh, because of the fact that they've all sustained so many bumps and bruises over the years. And Karlsson and Stamkos have missed a whole lot of time. And for them to be playing at the top of their games right right now. You look at last season. Last season was the first season in the great career of Steven Stamkos, Josh, where he eclipsed 100 points. And that just goes to show he's getting better with age. Erik Karlsson, I thought, had really seen the best of times fly by him like that, and all of a sudden he's arguably the top defenseman in the NHL so far this season. And of course, Jamie Benn's able to rely on some of the young guys like Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz to kind of lead the way down there in Dallas. So I think these are great stories. Stamkos, Karlsson, Benn, all these guys have had career resurgences in their early 30s with a lot of injuries and a lot of tread off the tires, and I think that's really impressive.
Yeah, Scott, well, I'll tell you what, buddy. I could go another 3 hours with you, but I got to wake up at 5 a.m. to listen to you on Sirius. So we will do this again sometime down the road. Maybe we'll have a Ducks victory to talk about. But, Scott Laughlin, it is always a pleasure to have you on Duck Calls, and thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Anytime, Josh. We'll talk down the road. Thanks very much.
Very good. There he is, Scott Laughlin. Let's take a little break here on Duck Calls, 714-940-2888. Let's take a little break, a real short break. I'm going to come back. And if you want to chime in, I'm going to have a short last segment. I want to hear from you, Duck fans. Pick up that phone. Let me know what you think. Rough times for the Ducks. What's on your mind?
Hey, Ducks fans. Wish it wasn't so hard to eat healthy? With Fresh and Lean, it's never been easier. You get organically sourced meals made by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. No fluff, no junk, just real food made with real ingredients. Fresh and Lean has served over 25 million meals nationwide, and they're based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order, plus free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real.
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down 3 positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then, one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested. All for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us. All of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Get your free Wild Wing Nut Quacker, presented by Impact, on Friday, December 23rd, when the Ducks take on the Calgary Flames at 7:30 p.m. Only the first 10,000 fans in attendance will receive this figurine, so get to Honda Center early. Reserve your seats now at AnaheimDucks.com/Quacker. AnaheimDucks.com/Quacker. Well, why don't you pick up the phone and you can start quacking. 7-0, the Leafs over the Ducks tonight in a season that is, quite honestly, getting tougher by the day. Ducks unable to do what they want to do in the offensive zone. We've talked about a lot of issues. Would love to hear from you. 714-940-2888. In my last few minutes here, let me get you caught up on the NHL. Okay, this is a final now. Connor McDavid up to his 26th goal, and look out, because Zach Hyman scored 2 as the Oilers on the road in Nashville beat the Predators 6-3 tonight. Boy, think if the Edmonton Oilers had Evander Kane right now. Zach Hyman's picking up a lot of slack, but I'm really starting to think that if they're fortunate enough to get Kane back, I think the Oilers could be better than they were last year, and they were pretty good. All right, Vegas Golden Knights 6, Winnipeg Jets 5. Mark Scheifele has a hat trick tonight for Winnipeg in a losing effort. For the Vegas Golden Knights, Jonathan Marchessault, his 13th and 14th goals of the season. Right now in the second period, the Avalanche are up on the Flyers 2-1. Devin Taves and Arturi Lehkonen have scored for Colorado. Capitals 4, Blackhawks 2. This is At the end of the second period, and as Scott mentioned, Alexander Ovechkin is now up to 799 goals. He's looking to surpass Gordie Howe. When he gets to 801, he would be second all-time. His 18th and 19th of the season, entirely conceivable that he's good for 50, at least 40, 45 goals, if not 50 again. I still believe, knowing what I know about hockey, and I know Ovechkin is a machine, Father Time, at some point, he's going to catch up. So I'm really happy to see Ovi scoring now at this clip, because I think in the next 2-3 years, who knows, maybe he'll be good for 25, 30 goals, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he just keeps going 50, 50, 50, 40, 40, 40. I don't know. But I think he will eclipse Wayne Gretzky. Coyotes and the Sharks just getting underway in San Jose. The Panthers 4, the Blue Jackets nothing tonight. This is in Florida. Matthew Tkachuk gets his 14th goal of the season. Brandon Montour his 6th, Sam Reinhart his 8th. Alexander Barkov, who has been a little subpar this year, he's dealt with some injuries, but only 6 goals on the year, but he did score tonight. Stars 4, Devils 1 tonight. The Sabres 6, the Kings nothing. This is the kind of night where you really wish the Ducks, you know, could have won one. It's not like we're climbing the ladder in the West, but you have a Western foe, Pacific Division foe loses. Unfortunately, we don't gain any ground. You're going to read a lot about Tage Thompson. I'm going to bring his name up again. He scored 2 goals tonight, his 22nd and 23rd. Interesting player. I was reading this piece by Sean McIndoe in the Athletic. You know, and I think about the Ducks struggling. You know, who could emerge? Tage Thompson was a guy who had like 18 goals between his years in Buffalo and St. Louis. He was traded for Ryan O'Reilly. He was always a depth guy. He's a big guy, 6'7". Always like a fourth-line guy, fourth-line guy. Well, Don Granato decides last year, he's my top-line guy. He's my top-line center. Look at him now. Scores goals in bunches. They signed him to a $7 million-plus deal, almost $8 million. And now he's up to 23 goals on the year. He could be a Hart Trophy candidate. So you never know who's dwelling on your third or fourth line. And, you know, I'm going to put my praying hands together. Maybe Max Comtois emerges. Maybe Max Jones has more than we think he does. It'll be very interesting to see, you know, what you can get from within, because Tage Thompson was certainly written off a bit as a talented guy, but always down the lineup. Well, he's not down the lineup anymore. Sabres 6, Kings nothing. Bruins 4, Islanders 3. This is in a shootout tonight. And speaking of depth of scoring, Jake DeBrusque, his 10th and 11th goals of the season for the Boston Bruins, who just keep rolling along. They're now 23-4-1. I mentioned the Lightning 6, the Kraken 2. Stamkos' point streak is up to 14 games. Finally tonight, Hurricanes 1. Brady Shea scores in the first period. The goal holds up. 1-0 over Detroit in Detroit. Okay, let's get out of here. Leafs 7, Ducks nothing. I will talk to you on Thursday when the Ducks go to Montreal. And hopefully we will have a better result. But thank you so much for listening to Duck Calls. And I will talk to you then. Keep your heads up, Duck fans. And you keep calling Duck Calls. Great calls tonight. Love to hear from you, whether things are going well or things are not going well. This is your show. Thanks for calling. Have a good night.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
For Zegras in, shoot, score!
Are you big on sports? What are we talking about? You're a Ducks fan. Of course you are. So keep yourself in the game on all the sports coverage you love with TuneIn's exclusive Believe 24/7 station, bringing you nonstop Believe podcast content in one handy around-the-clock radio station. So you can stream hot takes and game-changing moments curated just for you while you're waiting for the next Ducks stream game. Listen now, right here on TuneIn.
Shoot, score!
Hockey is intense.
Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their Zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next Ducks Stream game. Hear it here on TuneIn.
Global news happens fast. Stay plugged into your world with TuneIn, the best app for all things audio. TuneIn brings you top news sources like CNN, Fox News Radio, and MSNBC, plus key financial outlets including Bloomberg and CNBC. The best part? If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll unlock commercial-free news, bringing you more than 5 hours of bonus news content every day instead of ads. So keep up with the latest headlines and stay in the know every day with TuneIn.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% Mountain Spring Water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste, sourced from springs in